Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The story of a new charity that helps to settle refugees and other needy people who are new to our community. The organization is House of Goods. It was started late last year by two local Muslim police chaplains. It's being maintained through a wave of generosity from people donating clothes, furniture, and other household items, which are then distributed free. Joining me in studio are the co-founders of House of Goods, Jamal Bajadik and Adil Imdad. Jamal is a Bosnian refugee and a Muslim police chaplain in the city, Adil in the county. He came to this country as a student from Pakistan in 1981 and is a geotechnical engineer. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Let's start, and Jamal, I'll start with you, just to start somewhere. How did all of this get started?
The whole thing got started is basically I was patrolling with the officers, you know, and we had a domestic disturbance call in the neighborhood. And basically one of the Bosnian neighbors asked, because a lot of people know me, you know, and he told me, hey, Jamal, there's a family, Syrian refugee, they need some assistance. So I knocked at their door and basically found out they were from Syria. They've been almost 5 months and they need some assistance. So I went on Facebook, I put it on the media that there's a family needs assistance, that the community from Bosnia, Muslim community, started just, you know, sending me messages, donation. And then I got with my partner, Adil Imdad, you know, and we basically decided to open House of Goods, you know, to Islamic Foundation.
This was in December, is that correct?
It was in November.
In November. At the end of last year. Yeah. Adil, will you see running into the same sort of a thing in the county in terms of refugees with needs?
Well, my story is slightly different than Jamal. So I've been working in the social services of the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis since 95, since I came to the city. And after I graduated, this was my passion, to go out and help out these needy. At that time, thousands and thousands of Bosnians were showing up between 95 to 2000. And so we used to, you know, collect furniture, clothing for them, even pay them rental and utility assistance through the Islamic Foundation. So the work was already going on through the social services. So, so what happened in the last year is that we did a fundraising, and we're mainly for the refugees and the Syrians, because all that war is going on in Syria.
Sure.
And within an hour, our whole gymnasium got filled up, all by the local people from Baldwin. And so, I mean, we were overwhelmed where to put all this stuff. So that's when the idea of Baitul Mal, or the Arabic word Baitul Mal, in English is House of Goods, came into mind, and we rented the facility on Olieta.
And it's still full?
It is. Well, I mean, stuff keeps coming. It's the mercy of God Almighty. He keeps sending us stuff absolutely free, and we keep giving every day, every day.
Jamal, who is making the donations? Is it just the Muslim community, or is it the broader community?
It's a broader community, Muslim, non-Muslim community. We not only help the refugees, we help non-refugees, people who are needy, such as in West Forreston, Ferguson, people who are in need of any kind of items, furniture, non-furniture, food items. So everybody basically is donating from a large community, variety of people.
How large a staff do you have to do all of this? You two fellas can't do it all by yourself.
No, we have four people on salaries, and then we have tons of volunteers from high school to college graduates. And even those students who are non-Muslims coming from SLU, mainly from St. Lucia, and they're coming out, and we depend on volunteers, as you know, any charity would. So basically we have like four people on paid salaries, but then the rest of them are all volunteers.
Well, you started because of the need of the Syrian population, which is growing here.
It was basically because we've been doing this, like Adil said, since 1995, Islamic Foundation. So, you know, we wanted, because there was also that, and there was a lot of need, you know, especially the economy and all that. We wanted to expand, you know, have a place so we can give to the people, public, basically.
How does your faith work into this? How does it inform what you're doing?
As a Muslim, we support, it teaches us that we have to help the needy and everybody, basically, Muslim and non-Muslim. That's our duty. So it just showed us that, you know, there's a lot of needy people and we want to reach out to them, you know.
Actually, the religion of Islam is, as you know, the literal meaning is peace. Mm-hmm. And when I read the Holy Book Quran, almost one-fourth of that is filled with charity. You know, God Almighty gives direction to help out the needy and poor people, not only the people of your faith, but any people. So the first person who made the Baitul Mal, the House of Goods, was about 1,450 years ago, was Prophet Muhammad in Medina. And he came up with this idea, and he made a small warehouse where they would store food and staples and wheat and rice and sugar and all kind of stuff. And then they would help the poor people of Medina, of the city of Medina, who come in. So I actually took the name from the teaching of the Prophet, from the Hadith, and made the same name as Baitul Mal, the House of Goods.
You know, sometimes people who are accepting charity are embarrassed that they're in a position where they have to do that. Is this the case with the people that you're helping?
Some are, yes. Some of them don't want to be known, and I can understand them. They're from very good, honorable families from back home. Some of them don't want to be publicized. Some of them don't want to be on our list. We have a list that we generate every day who we help. And that is fine. We understand that. We give them that option. And if they don't want to tell us their name, that is fine. Our job is to help them out, help their needs, not to enumerate them, not to look at their names, where they're from, or their ethnic background. Our job number one is to help.
I understand your work with the Islamic Foundation and the work that it's been doing over the years is certainly admirable. What about the International Institute? Is that a part of this as well? Because it's so plugged into the refugee community.
Yeah, International Institute basically provides services from the first come. And after the certain amount of months, 4 months, 5 months, then most of the refugees, they're on their own, and you have to understand refugees have bigger families, you know. And for a father to have a job and get paid like minimum wage, it's kind of hard to obtain the family to pay the bills, all that. Then that's when the Islamic Foundation and different organizations also kind of help with assistance with rent and all other stuff.
Adil, you look like you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, International Institute is not a part of the Baitul Mal, and they don't help us, but they do give us, you know, directions who needs help, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, certain families that knew, and now they're off the program. Basically, I learned that from them that the government actually provides them around $950 per person for the 3 or 4 month period, you know, the initial period. And after that, like Brother Jamal said, they're on their own. Right. So that's when the Islamic Foundation and the other mosques and the Baitul Mal, you know, their help kicks in. And we provide them help unlimited. And sometimes we've been helping some of the people for decades. And not, you know, sometimes they get monthly stipend, monthly utility and rental assistance from us. But International Institute stops, you know.
I see.
And then they forward some of them to us and some of them to the churches, local churches.
Tell me about your work as Muslim chaplains with the various police departments. Do you find that these newcomers, I'll call them that because there are various religions and from various countries, are they adjusting pretty well to life here in St. Louis?
Some of them are, but some of them are not. So it depends on where you're coming from, you know, especially, you know, if you're Middle Eastern, you know, it's kind of hard, especially with the English language. It was also with the first Bosnians and all the refugees that came to this city. And it's very hard about the language, especially now about the economy. It's hard to find a second job than before. So it takes for them some time to adjust, you know, a period of time. But they kind of at the end, you know, after 2 years, 1 year, they get into it, you know. So they try their best.
I think all of us have to think of what it would be like for us if we were suddenly in a brand new country with a whole new language and a whole new culture and having to deal with that. Adil?
Yeah, as you know, the chaplains, their basic things that they offer is comfort, strength, peace, hope, charity. So that definitely plays into the work that we do. And a couple of years ago, the past chief of police of the county, Mr. Tim Fitch, he noticed that there was no Muslim chaplain in the entire county. Mm-hmm. So that's when he we had offered him to the mosque, and in one of the Ramadan iftars, or the breaking of the fast, and that's when he announced that, you know, we are looking for chaplains. And then he reached out to me, and I accepted the offer. And I've been working as chaplain. So what we do is we advise the chief of police on the matters of religious nature involving police department. We visit the, you know, sick and injured members of the department and do the counseling of the department members in stress or, you know, family crisis problems. Sometimes I accompany them on a ride-along and doing the notification of any suicide or death to the department members.
But do you only serve the Muslim members of the community, or, I mean, as a Muslim chaplain, is that your basically your job? Are you to serve?
We're open to actually any people, any religious people, right. But mostly police department, they use certain Muslims for Muslims, Catholics for Catholics, Jewish for Jewish, and mostly that's what, you know, they use. But as chaplains, we are supposed to be open to any of the denominations.
What is the... Go ahead.
I became chaplain in 2012 when Chief Eisen was the chief. And that was the same thing. They were looking for a Muslim chaplain, and they offered me position. And, yeah, basically, I in the city, because there's a large immigrant population usually live, so I offer services to non-Muslim. If there's an accident or death notification, sure. So I have to go basically either to the Hispanic family, Bosnian, Afghani, or Vietnamese. So I basically, you know, because deal with the immigrant population in the city, so it doesn't matter what faith, you know.
In a crisis, that's not important.
Important.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what the Muslim population is in the city and the county?
Well, you know, again, this is something which is the educated guess. There's nobody has numbers, but we know there's about 45,000 to 50,000 Bosnians, and there's about 30,000 all other nationalities. That includes the Pakistanis and Indian, Bengalis, Afghanis, Somalis. You know, people from every other nation.
So about 75,000 in the region,
right? Yeah. The whole region.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll do that now. And before we take that break, I'll ask members of the audience if you have questions about what we're talking about here, and about specifically about the House of Goods, this charity that we're talking about. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or we'll take a tweet at STL on air. My guests in studio are Adil Imdad, co-founder of the House of Goods, and also Jamal Bajadik, co-founder of the House of Goods. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now, back to our conversation with Abdil Imdad and Jamal Bajadik, co-founders of the House of Goods. Jamal, let me ask you about your own arrival here. It was back in the 90s. Did you come into a situation where you had the kind of needs that you're helping people with today?
Yeah, actually, we had a family members here, so they kind of helped us same way, you know. But some of the refugees that came here, they didn't have no family members and all that. So they were kind of on their own, you know. And it was very hard for them because of the, you know, they had bigger families and they will receive certain amount of help from international institute or different organization. And, you know, it was, the language was the main barrier, you know.
Well, it certainly would be.
Yeah, it would be, you know, say. Yeah. So.
Adil, your circumstances were quite different. You came here as a student.
Yeah, I back in 1981, I got admitted into eighth grade in upstate New York. So I finished the high school here, and then I after my bachelor's, got admitted into WashU here, did my master's in environmental engineering. So I have been working here ever since 95, 96.
Yeah, we should point out that the work you're doing for House of Goods and your police chaplaincies are extracurricular activities. You both are employed. You're a manager with a BP station, and of course, you're doing the work that you're doing. But let's go back to House of Goods. We have a call from Chesterfield. Kurt wants to know something about your organization. So go ahead, Kurt. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. I was wondering whether your organization is in a position to do pickups. I have some large items and would be happy to donate them, and I'm just interested to know a little bit about that, and I can take the answer off the air.
Sure. We have trucks, and we have drivers, and we have volunteers. So if you would like, you can give us a call, I will let the number know to Don Marsh after the program. And you can call the person and set them an appointment. They will come and pick it up, and we would appreciate that.
We will be putting all relevant information on our website at stlpublicradio.org. But if you do have the number, he sounds like he might be sitting down and not driving a car. Can you give him the number now? And we'll put it on our website, too, for further reference.
The number that we are using right now is for our one of the worker. Her name is Lisa, and you can always call her. Her cell number is 314-702-0989.
Give it one more time. 702-0989?
Right.
Okay, and then ask for Lisa.
Right.
Okay. Another part of this of your story that I find really fascinating is the fact that social media was so helpful to you in reaching out to the community. Tell us a little bit, Jamal. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you use? Facebook? Twitter?
Facebook. After I first met the First Syrian refugee family, I basically posted on Facebook that I needed some items. So especially, I have a lot of friends on Facebook, around 4,000. So a lot of Bosnians and different friends that I have, non-Bosnians, you know, they started just sending me messages, you know, hey, I have this item, I have that, we want to bring it to the family. And then from that step, I met different Syrian families that live in the area. So we started helping them, you know, just basically with our own trucks, you know, with our own vehicle, you know. And then we expanded, you know, to Islamic Foundation, you know, getting a building and the truck and all the necessary needs.
That surprised you, Adil?
Yeah, I mean, Jamal is excellent in putting information on social media, especially the Facebook. I don't have Facebook. I'm an old-timer. But I do use announcements at the Islamic Foundation, at the mosque, and at the West Pine Mosque in downtown. We also rely on the local media like NPR. Here we have been interviewed by Channel 5, the local Fox News, the NPR before, about 6 months ago. Japanese Nippon TV did a documentary on us. They included us in the HEC TV, Higher Education TV. So they have articles about us on their websites.
I know that neither of you gentlemen wants to get political, and I don't either, but we're getting some questions here. I'll put it out. If you don't choose to answer, simply say this is for another time perhaps. But Mirza writes, how do you think your work will affect the perception of Muslims in the United States?
Well, it gives us definitely a positive image, yeah. No doubt about that. And like I was mentioning before, there's many volunteers who are coming to us are non-Muslims. Churches are sending them to us, and the kids are coming from universities. So they go out and spread a positive image about us, what we do. And when they're with us, we don't talk religion. We talk help. We talk charity and compassion. So that gives definitely a positive image about our religion and about our faith.
But, of course, a part of the situation in the country today is that there is a certain degree of Islamophobia, and that's something you have to confront.
Yes, unfortunately, and we are going through the same phase as the African Americans or the Chinese or the Irish or the Jews that went through. We are unfortunately going through the same phase. I wish this was not the same repetition for us, but I guess it's other way around. We are getting, yes, hateful also messages sometimes. There's no doubt about that.
Well, if people look at the work you're doing now, their certainly minds would have to be changed. What is your great, Jamal, I'll ask this to you, what is your greatest need? I know you've got a full warehouse or wherever you're putting your donated items. What is your greatest need?
Greatest needs is the financial assistance. You know, we always need, like, for, you know, volunteers, you know, the food and different, you know, for the fixing the truck. We have our old truck, you know, sometimes it breaks down, but we fix it, you know, and it's like there is financial need is always good to have, but also, you know, food items and hygiene stuff, you know, that's the most important that the refugees, you know, need. And basically, non-refugees too, you know, dry food, hygiene stuff, you know. We have a lot of clothing right now and, you know, furniture, you know, but we always give out so much to everybody, basically. We deal with youth and need, different kind of organization in the North City.
Do you have a number of how many people you've helped in the yes. 9 months or so that you've been in business?
Yeah, we've been, as I said, like since last November, so it's been about 6 months. So we have helped about 2,300 people mm-hmm. with all kind of stuff. And like you were saying, the stuff that we need and stuff that we help with is like clothing, shoes, furniture, mattresses, sofas, beds, toiletries, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, formula milk, and stuff that the refugees' food stamp cannot buy. Yeah. And so that's the kind of stuff that we need that would be most helpful to us.
My impression is, correct me if I'm wrong, that you have a GoFundMe campaign going? And in other words,
Yes, we do. We started a GoFundMe page to basically help with the utility bills for the warehouse. Islamic Foundation pays the rent and the utility bills, but also we need for the new truck or different basically gas money, because it costs. We basically are reaching to everybody in the community. It doesn't matter, South Side, North City, it's everybody, even in Ferguson area. We bring to the non-refugees, furniture, and all that. And when you see how we helped like 2,300 people, that means some of them, most of them are non-refugees, you know.
Sure. Like Jamal mentioned that we don't get any grants from state or federal government. The money exclusively comes from the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis.
It's an organic operation.
Right. So, I mean, if somebody is willing mm-hmm. to help, definitely they can help financially, and they will get a tax-exempt letter from us. Mm-hmm. 501c, and they can save their taxes on it, or buy us a new truck, you know, small truck to deliver it.
Do you have a website by any chance? I know you're into social media.
We have on Facebook. Yep. We are right now in processing building a website, because, you know, so it's going to take some time, but we are building it, you know. But social media, because I've been putting it on Facebook, because a lot of people on social media, especially Facebook, helped a lot.
How do they find you on Facebook? House of Goods?
House of Goods, you know. We have our page. If you like us, you know, like the page, you know, and you're going to have all information over there.
We have bought the domain baitulmalcharity.com or baitulmalcharity.org. And so we are in the process of building the website. So hopefully within a week or so, it'll be up and running.
You'll have to spell that, because I'm not sure.
B as in boy, yeah. A I T as in Tom, U L B A I T U L, Baitul M A L, Baitul Mal, Charity.
Okay.
.org.
We'll get that on our website too. Right. Let's say.
A majority is Facebook, because a lot of people use Facebook right now, social media, especially Facebook.
Well, I guess you do, with 4,000 friends on Facebook. You're ahead of most people in that regard, and it seems to be paying off for it. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much. Anything you want to add that we haven't covered that you think people should know?
Well, we just want to thank everybody. You know, the help is very, very appreciated from everybody. And if somebody wants to help, they can always call that number or contact me, myself, okay. Or contact the foundation. And the foundation number is 636-394-7878.
We'll get that.
Islamic Foundation
number. We'll get that on our website as well. I want to thank you both, gentlemen, so much for
being
with us. Keep up the good work. Muslim Police Chaplains and House of Goods co-founders, Jamal Bajadik and Jamal Bajadik, I should say, and Adil Imdad. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.